Your Holiness, we're very grateful that you returned this afternoon to give us some advice and counsel and Dharma teaching on how to take illness and pain into the path. This is a topic of great interest to all of us, for our own personal lives as well as for those who are our dear ones. So we greatly look forward to your advice on this important subject. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So once again, we gathered here today, and I would like to extend my very warm greetings and warm welcome again. As today is a very auspicious day, the triple holy day of the International Vesak. So on such a day, of course, whatever we do, it is a great merit. We as a human being, in our life, there are many requirements. We need many, many things. But the most important thing is spiritual path, because all the other things are only temporary, and the spiritual path is the one that goes all the way, not only in this life, but next life, and next life, and next life, and so all the way through. So therefore, the spiritual life is very, very important. And according to the teachings, that every sentient being possesses the Buddha nature. In a sense, the true nature of our mind is pure, right from the beginning, and it is never stained with the obscurations. And it is the Buddha, the true nature of the sentient being's mind, and the true nature of the Buddha's wisdom, there is no different. As a sentient being and a Buddha, there is of course vast difference. But in its true nature is concerned, there is no difference. But the difference between sentient being and Buddha is that although we possess the Buddha nature, we possess the true nature of our mind is pure and Buddha nature, but it is completely covered with the obscurations. The obscuration of the defilements and the obscuration of the phenomena. So as long as we have the obscurations, we could never manifest the nature, true nature of the Buddha. And we are caught up in the samsara, and we experience so much sufferings. So in the samsara, no matter where you are, either in lower realms or higher realms, as long as it is a samsara, it is a suffering. The nature of the fire is hot, whether it is a small fire or a big fire. Similarly, the nature of the samsara is suffering. So therefore, we need to overcome the samsara, suffering of samsara. And to overcome the suffering of samsara, the only way to overcome the suffering of samsara is to practice Dharma. Only through the practice of Dharma that one could overcome the suffering of samsara. And although every sentient being possesses the Buddha nature, tiny from insects, from germs to the human being, everyone possesses the Buddha nature. But the human beings have the best chance, because the human beings have been able to speak and being able to understand, and also has the intelligence. So the human mind is much more powerful than any other living beings. So therefore, the human power is very important, most important. And this human life is not easy to gain. Although there are a lot of human beings, but when you compare with the other living beings, the human beings are few in number. It's easy to count how many people living in the country, but it's impossible to count how many insects, even in a small place. So therefore, when you compare with the other living beings, the human life is very few in number. And so the human life is very difficult to obtain. In order to obtain the human life, we need to accumulate great merits and great prayers and great virtuous deeds, especially the virtuous deeds of the pure good moral conduct, pure good moral, without which that you cannot really gain the human life. So the human life is very precious, especially the human life which is endowed with all the prerequisite is very difficult to obtain from many points of view. And so while we have the human life, our most important thing in life to practice is the law of karma. Because the Buddha said that everything which we encounter in our life, the happiness, sufferings, everything does not mean that they don't have the cause. Also does not mean that they come from the wrong cause. Each and everything must have its own unique causes. And that is the karma. There are many different beliefs. Some say there's creator creates everything and so on. But according to the Buddhism, there's no creator as such. Creator is ourselves. We create the karma, and the karma reflects and happens on due course, which then experience the these kind of lives that which we have. And so the karma is very important. Karma is very important because the whole world is called the land of the karma. And this karma, if you did not commit, then you will not meet the result. If you not meet the if you not meet the karma, you will not meet the result. And whatever the karma that you have created, even it goes with hundreds of years, it will not fade away. It will happen still in in whoever does it, that it causes. And so, so therefore, that we must we pray not to have a sickness, not to have bad luck and so on. But just praying, it will not work. Prayer also, of course, powerful. Prayer also is helpful. But prayer alone will not get all the answers. But if we act our own, if we create good karma, that will definitely brings the good fortunes. And so therefore it is very important to work on the karma. Karma, how the karma is created. Basically, it is all due to the ignorance, not knowing the true nature of the mind. Instead of seeing the true nature of the mind, that we cling as a self without any logical reasons. If there is a self, it has to be either name, body, or mind. Name is empty by itself. Any name could be given at any time. Body means many things, from head to toe. There are so many different parts. So if you take each part, that is not self. Each part is different. Each part has its own way, its own names, its own function. And then mind also, the mind is momentarily changing. The past mind is already ceased. Future mind is yet to rise. And the present mind is also momentarily changing. So something that is changing momentarily also could not be the self. So where is the self apart from body and mind? Even in our ordinary usage, we talk about love. When you say my body, we say love, my possessions, my house, my car, etc. So when you say my car, the car belongs to you, but the car itself is not you, but the car belongs to you. Similarly, we say like my body, so that means the body belongs to you, but the body is not you, but the body belongs to you. Similarly, we say like my mind, so when you say my mind, that mind also belongs to you. But now the one who owns your possessions, your body, your mind, if you try to investigate, you cannot find anywhere. So instead of seeing the true nature of the mind, we cling as a self without any logical reasons. Because we have the strong habitual tendency that builds up. From the beginningless time until now. So we, due to this, automatically we think that as the I and the mind, etc. But there's no real I and real mind. And then we create karma. So instead of seeing the true nature of the mind, we cling as a self. So when you have the self, then you have the others automatically. Just like the right and left, if there's a right side, there's got to be left side. You can't have the right side alone. So similarly, when you have the self, there is the others. So when you have the others, then when you have the self and the others, then there's a attachment to one's own side and anger to the others. So in this way, so it all comes from the ignorance, not knowing the reality, due to the lack of wisdom, that we, instead of seeing the true nature, we cling as a self, as though that is the biggest ignorance. From this ignorance then arises the desire for one's own side and anger for the others. So in this way it forms the three main defilements. And then from this then forms the pride, stinginess, and jealousy, etc. And then when you have these out of these, then we create the karmas, like physical actions, verbal actions, and mental actions. And so when we take actions, then it is just like planting a seed on the fertile ground, that in due course that it yields the results. And so then when we indulge, we have physical actions such as like killing, stealing, and sexual misconduct, and verbal actions like lying, schism, and covetousness, and idle talks, and then mental actions like hatred and covetousness and wrong views. So and when we take this kind of negative deeds, then it produces the negative deeds then produces the result, which is all the negative things that which we experience, such as like short life, sickness, poverty, not being able to fulfill your wishes, the failures, unsuccessful, etc. All the negative things that arises from indulging and the non-virtuous deeds. And so so from such things then arises the negative deeds. And so today's topic is actually how to take a pain and sickness into the path. So when you indulge negative deeds, non-virtuous deeds, and then when the result arises and experience, then of course we cannot do anything. It is already it already So in any case, whatever happens in our life, one should be try to adjust, and one should try to be not panic, and to try to be relaxed. That is the most important thing. If you are sick, physically sick, very sick, and very unbearable pains, and then instead of putting a burden to your mind, that you should think of that having sickness is a good positive thing, because by having sickness and by having experience, painful experience, that you are shedding your negative karmas. So when you are shedding your negative karmas in this life, so your next life will be brighter. You will no need to fall down in the lower realms. Even if your this life is very happy, if you fall down in the next life in the lower realms, where there is enormous sufferings. So the lower realms suffering, even the slightest part of the lower realms sufferings, that could not be represent enormous sufferings of here. As it is said in the Sutta Dalika, that in somebody striking on your body 300 times with a spear, of course, that is a very, very cruel, and that is very painful. But they say this is the slightest, only slightest suffering in the lower realms. So by having pains and by being experiencing the pains, will shade the negative karmas that will cause to be born in the lower realms. It's a good thing. So one should be happy, and all the practice that we do, all the practice we do are also for purifying the negative deeds. So having pain and sickness is a practice. So in this way it is a practice, because practice means purification. And having sickness is also like purification, purifying. And so therefore, instead of suffering in the lower realms in the future, if you suffer in this life and having sickness and pains, will be a positive thing. And if you are not sick, also, of course, it's a very good thing, because when your body and mind are healthy, then you can do virtuous deeds, you can do practice. And when we do practice, you will accumulate merits. When you accumulate merits, then you will be able to proceed further on the path. So in this way, you can take the disease into the path, the sickness into the path. Otherwise, when we are sick and when we have pains, that if you more burden on while we are physically sick, mentally also if you take it as a burden, then it is double. And then, but if you take it, even though you are physically sick, but if you are mentally, if you take it as a light, then it is much better, but much lighter, much more lighter. And so in this way, since everything is mind, the mind is, if the mind is like more taking the light, then it becomes easier. And so the mind is the most important thing, and the mind must be controlled. And take it light. Otherwise, and you know, if your mind also suffers, physically you are suffering already, and on top of that, if your mind also suffers, then it kind of becomes double. Even though you are physically sick, but if your mind takes it light, and mind thinks in a positive way, then it becomes much more easier. In any case, for practitioner, if you are a good practitioner, then whatever happens in your life, everything becomes practice. The sickness, pains, the disasters, whatever, everything becomes practice. So the practice will make it further, proceed further on the path. And this way, in this way, it makes it much more easier to be on the path. Mind, after all, mind is the most important thing. And mind, if your mind is happy, then no matter where you are, one, you are happy. If your mind is not happy, even you are in the most beautiful place, most nice place, that where you are, one is not happy. So after all, everything is mind. Mind, if your mind thinks is something very terrible things is happening, then it is much worse. But if your mind takes it lighter, then it is becomes a little much more easier. So the main thing is that if you take everything into the path, good or bad, everything into the path, whatever happens in our life, that we should try to take it into the path. The good practitioners takes everything into the path. So in this way that we, so now instead of for me to talking, that if you have questions, I'll be happy to answer.
Thank you very much, Your Holiness, for this excellent advice. I'm very grateful. Does anyone have any questions that they would like to ask Rinpoche?
How you would incorporate, for example, pain, which is the sensation that you're feeling in your body, how would you incorporate that into your practice so that it becomes, as you were saying earlier, part of your practice?
Yes. As I said, that when you have a very big pains, normally we take it as a burden. So instead of taking it a burden, we take it as a shielding the negative karmas. By suffering, physically suffering, that my negative karma is purifying. When my negative karma is purifying, that I will be happy in the future, that I'm looking forward. So in this way, that pain becomes lesser, and your mind is brighter. So in this way, it is much more helpful.
Your Holiness, we received one question. They asked, are there any specific meditations? Of course, Medicine Buddha, which Your Holiness will bestow upon us tomorrow, but are there any visualizations or breathing or postures, anything to be done for pain?
Yes, there are many, many meditations. For example, tomorrow we are having the Medicine Buddha initiation, with the Medicine Buddha nectar coming down and washing all the sickness and all the impurities. And this kind of meditation is also possible. This is the method side. Wisdom side is that in reality there's no pain. There's no oneself who is suffering the pain. There's no the pain itself. There's no one who is creator of the pain. There's no such a, no such a pains everywhere. And that in this way, if you think of in emptiness, in shunyata, then it all dissolves.
Thank you, Rinpoche, very much for today, tomorrow. My question is, when we go to these teachings and we receive these empowerments, there's a practice that goes with it, a mantra, and a practice that we can incorporate into our lives. And I know that you said that there's no commitment, but I think sometimes, at least for myself, there is a confusion as to, you know, which practice do I fit into my day of working and responsibilities. You know, do I finish my Guru Rinpoche? Do I do the Medicine Buddha? Do I you know, complete the nundro, which, so I don't want to look at practice as conflicting, but sometimes I feel that, and I would like to have your input on my question.
There are actually the great Lord Buddha who possessed infinite wisdom in order to help all the different levels of sentient beings have manifested through many, many different forms, peaceful form, wrathful form, single form, elaborate form, etc. There are so many different practices, so many different initiations, so many different things. You cannot practice all of them. It is impossible for an individual to practice all the deities. You can receive many initiations as blessings to enhance your practice, but you cannot practice them. But practice you what we call karmic link deity. The one that you have the karmic link deity, that either given by your guru or to find out yourself. One way of to find out one's own deity is that whoever is the most attracted, whichever deity that you feel most closest and most attractive and most easiest to practice, that is your karmic link deity. So that you can take it as your main deity.
Good afternoon, Apollinus. Do you have a follow-on question to that earlier question? That is, if we know that we are sticking to one particular practice, like for example, if you are chanting a mantra, and sometimes it is natural that we set a number or a goal to achieve, let's say, whether it's 10,000 or 100,000 to practice, how do we train our mind such that we don't become number-driven and we are able to continuously practice without being attached to a certain number or certain goal?
Yes. Number is actually not the important thing. Important thing is not the quantity, quality is the important thing. Your important thing is quality. And so number is, many people count it on the numbers, but now you also can't count in number, but that's not the most important thing. Most important thing is the quality of the practice. And until you have some definite signs, when you have a definite signs either in reality or in your dreams, if you have that you have accomplished the deity, that is the sign.
Thank you. I do have another question in that regard. How those of us that are lucky enough to have healthy bodies and hopefully healthy or at least somewhat stable minds, how do we help those who are not able to help themselves and, specifically people who are physically incapable of moving? Or people who have mental conditions that don't allow them to see that suffering can be a blessing. How can we, I think it's obvious that we pray for them, but I just wondered if there was anything else that we can do on a very almost mundane level to assist those that suffer.
Yes, praying is obvious, but mainly you can advise them also. You can talk to them You can give them comfort by talking to them, by giving words, also gives them comfort. When you are sick and then you tell them your sickness is very terrible, it's very painful, it's sorrowful, it's horrible, and then of course it will much, much worse. But if you say that your pain is all right, it will be all right, it will get better, it will soon be better, you should take it as a blessing. Then it may be less. And then also, of course, you can pray to them. Yes, the compassion is the most important thing. Compassion plays. Without compassion, you cannot even give the comforts. You cannot talk to them. You can't give the. So compassion is the most important thing.
Your Holiness, on behalf of all of the fortunate disciples assembled here, we'd like to thank you very, very much for this very precious advice. And in order to express our appreciation for your blessings and time and guidance today, we'd like to offer a mandala of appreciation and also of dedication in Your Holiness' long life prayer.
Namah Rinpoche,
Thank you very much, Your Holiness, from the bottom of our hearts for these wonderful blessings and teachings today. We look forward with great anticipation to the Medicine Buddha major empowerment tomorrow and the next day. And His Holiness will have a brief opportunity if people would like to see him.
After this.